Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're called to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. That is the way of life for the believer. It's that newness of life that we've been raised to walk in, and it's difficult for us to walk by faith, isn't it? Because we think we've figured out what life is supposed to be about.
Yep.
And there's just this telling example in the book of Romans about how to receive righteousness, how to pursue righteousness. And Paul contrasts the way of the Gentiles and the way of the Jews. And you would think that the way the Jews were doing it was the right way. Mm-hmm. But we find out it wasn't the right way at all. And for many of us, when we start thinking about God and thinking about who he might be and what he thinks about us, we start pursuing righteousness in exactly the same way the Jews did. And we wonder, we scratch our heads thinking, why isn't this working? Why haven't I obtained? Why haven't I gotten there? Well, because we've been going about it the wrong way. So here's how Paul draws that contrast in Romans 9, starting in verse 30. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. So the Gentiles weren't even worried about pursuing righteousness.
No.
It wasn't even on their radar. But when that gospel message hit their hearts, they simply responded to it by faith. That death of Jesus, that burial of Jesus, that resurrection of Jesus did something inside of them, and they received the free gift of righteousness. So it was a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel, so we have the Jews or the Gentiles on one hand, the people of Israel on the other hand, it said, who pursued the law as the way of righteousness, have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works, and they stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So how were the Jews trying to attain their goal of righteousness?
By the law.
By the law, through obedience to the law. Well, they had 10 set out before them, the 10 commandments, and they never made it past commandment number one.
Correct.
So righteousness was a failure for them. They
yes.
could not reach it because they could not get past commandment number one. And then if they did, they had 2 through 10 that would mess them up. We just don't have the ability to obtain righteousness through obedience to the law. The Jews didn't. The nation of Israel didn't. We don't as individuals. There's only one way for us to be declared righteous in the sight of God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only way that we will ever be declared righteous. Now, you've done a wonderful CD called The High Cost of Legalism, and a part of what you say on that particular CD really relates to this.
Yes.
We see so many Christians out there trying to pursue righteousness through the works of the law. They're not pursuing it by faith. They're not resting in the righteousness they've already obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. They're trying to pursue it through their own self-effort, through obedience to rules and regulations, and they're falling flat on their face time and time again. Well, quit doing it the wrong way. It's time to do it the right way.
Yes,
and that's simply to receive and rest and thank God for the righteousness that he gave you in Christ.
Yep, it's that easy.
It is that easy.
That hard, but Jesus is it.
Yeah. Well, the law is a minefield, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go and stub your toe and break your leg over the stumbling blocks and the rocks and so forth. So, hey, there you are. 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines right now. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. An email question from concerning Matthew 25 and also Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. The question is, could you explain the parable in Matthew about the lamps and the oil and the coins? And this listener says that these have always caused me great fear. It seems to say you can do these on your own, and if you don't, you will be thrown away. Again, that Matthew 25 and Luke 12.
Well, there's one thing about the Word of God is this, that God is not the author of fear. God is not the author of confusion. So if we're reading a particular passage that is bringing fear and consternation to our souls, it's disturbing us internally, I think we have to step back and say, am I reading this correctly? Do I have real spiritual ears to hear? Do I have eyes to really see what the Lord is trying to communicate to us? Now, is there a way for any of us to be saved apart from Christ Jesus?
No.
Absolutely not. And anytime we read things about future, you know, what's gonna happen, kind of the underlying message is, are you prepared? Are you ready for what's up ahead? And there's only one way for us to be ready, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. The oil is always representative of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How do we get the Holy Spirit? We can't get him through good works. We can't get him through obedience to rules and regulations. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Jesus Christ gives us the Holy Spirit when we believe on the gospel message. It's something that happens instantaneously at the moment of belief, the moment of salvation. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That prepares us, that equips us for the future, doesn't it?
Yes.
That marks us out as people who belong to Christ, and so we don't have to worry about anything that's going to come in the future. We don't have to worry about judgment. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. We don't have to worry about receiving the mark of the beast. We've already been marked out by God himself through the Holy Spirit. He's the deposit guaranteeing our future, and that future is secure in Christ. So all of these parables are really trying to say, get prepared. How do you get prepared? Simply by believing and receiving that Jesus Christ is the one. He is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And by believing that he is the Lord, that he died to take away our sins, was buried, and the third day he was raised back to life.
Oh, yeah. This whole idea of prepping, Christians, when they're looking at the future and looking at it in terms of fear, there's going to be lots of suffering, and there's going to be a lot of death and torture, and you tie yourself up in knots. And so you decide, well, I'd better have plenty of food, and I'd better have plenty of water, and I'd better, you know, live out in the mountains. That's what I was taught as a kid. You have to move to the mountains. Well, you know, if you just thought about it a second, the illogic of doing all of that stuff as a human being and expecting that to somehow prepare you for what's coming. Only Jesus can prepare us for what's coming. And if we walk by faith, then our future is guaranteed. If you have accepted Jesus, your future is guaranteed. There is no fear in the future. There is only a completely victorious Jesus. We've got to come to grips with that and accept it in a way that actually changes our thinking from the inside out. Doing all this other stuff is just activity at the best.
Absolutely. And I know there are so many people out there in the world today who are saying, yeah, I know God exists, and I'm going to deal with him at a future date. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go ahead and live my life now. I want to pursue my dreams, my goals, just grab for all the gusto that the world offers. And there's going to come a point at some time in the future when I'll actually deal with God. Well, our future isn't guaranteed. We don't know if we're going to have a tomorrow. That's why the Bible is constantly saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is all we have.
Yes.
And that's the point of this parable of the 10 virgins. Five prepared. Five took heed of what their master had said. The other five did not. They were like those folks out in the world today, saying, hey, we'll take care of it tomorrow. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know about tomorrow. So I know there are people listening in our audience today that may have that same attitude. I'm going to deal with it tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow. Get prepared today. Receive Jesus right now. Yes. Don't let another second go by without coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died to take away your sins. Every single sin that you would ever commit from the time you were born to the time you will die, Jesus has already dealt with it. He's already Yes. stepped into your shoes. He's taken that punishment away from you onto himself. So he died in your place. So the punishment you deserved, he took. He was buried to put an end to that old way of life, and he was raised on that third day so that you could have life everlasting. And now he's standing at the door of your heart knocking. Simply receive him. Believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and receive him. And when you do, you will be saved. Paul said it this way, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the preparation you need.
Yes.
He is going to outfit you with everything that you need for what's up ahead. He's going to mark you out as one that belongs to God himself. He is going to seal you for that day of redemption. I think that's a great deal. Get prepared today. Today, if you've heard the gospel message, harden not your hearts. Receive it.
Absolutely.
Believe it. Let the Lord prepare you for the goodness that's up ahead in your future.
That's the good news that you hear every day on this broadcast. And you know, the heart of Basic Gospel is to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ and to help you walk in his grace every day. That's why we created the brand new Hear, Believe, Live daily devotional. It's designed to help you experience the fullness of life that's yours through Jesus Christ, and it can be delivered straight to your email inbox every day. Simply go ahead right now if you can and request your copy at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. We're glad we can be a part of helping you hear, believe, and live this good news of our great God and Savior.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Question from Kurt, who wrote to us. Ephesians 3:10 is the central scripture passage. A very simple question. Who are the rulers and authorities mentioned in this passage, Ephesians 3:10?
Okay, good question. It's an interesting passage, I think, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is talking a lot about Jew and Gentile throughout that entire section. And I think that's very important for us to understand that this gospel message is for both Jew and Gentile. So I think he's actually talking about another passage, because Ephesians chapter 3:10 says this: his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. So that is the passage. But in that, he's talking about the fact that Jew and Gentile are going to form one new man in Christ. Mm-hmm. So that was a mystery that was held in the heart of God until it was revealed through the apostles. And so Paul was the main voice to reveal that message, because he was the one taking the gospel message to the Gentile world. And here's what happened. So when the Jews first received Christ on the day of Pentecost, they were added to the body of Christ. That was when the church really had its formation, was that day of Pentecost. Well, God had in mind all along to reach both Jew and Gentile,
yes,
to reach the entire world. So that day, Jews were added. In chapter 8, Samaritans were added. And in chapter 10 of Acts, Gentiles were added. And at that point, Paul became kind of front and center in the story, and he delivered this message around the Gentile world, to all of those great places that we know of from the Word of God. And so when they were added, Jew and Gentile became one. This body of Christ was now fully formed with both Jew and Gentile. Well, that was a mystery. And so his intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, so all of God's wisdom that had been stored up in Christ that was now being revealed to everyone was going to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Well, we're assuming that that would be angelic beings, I would think.
Well, he echoes this verbiage over in chapter 6 of Ephesians when he talks about the armor of God.
Right.
You know, our battle isn't against flesh and blood. So I read this because it's according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ. When I see that phrase, I say somebody was complaining about who Jesus is and how much power he has. And this is God's way of poking Satan in the eye and saying, I'll tell you how powerful I am. I'm going to reveal this wisdom through my body on earth. These humans, these weak, self-destructive humans, I'm saving them. I'm going to fill them with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to see the power of God, the wisdom of God manifest in the church. Take that.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we get to do. I mean, Satan tries to thwart everything that God does, and God can thwart Satan through the likes of us. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hallelujah. It's the only way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible mystery that we have access to God.
Yes.
And that's what he goes on to say in him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. There's no barrier.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, the book of Job and Satan approaching God, and there's some fear and trepidation in Satan doing that. It's as if he has to knock and get an invitation. Mm-hmm. There was no real free access as far as Satan was concerned. That's granted to us and to us alone. And all of the heavenly realms takes note of that. I mean, angels long to look into this grace that we have received in Christ Jesus. They're never going to experience grace. They're going to never experience what it feels like to walk in relationship with God, personal, intimate, powerful relationship with God. They simply do what God tells them to do. They have no discussion, no interaction, nothing as far as what we have. They long to look. They would love to just have a taste, just a little bitty taste of what we have in Christ. And when we really understand that, I think that just blows our minds away that, my goodness, God has given us so much in Jesus. And let's not take it for granted. Let's rejoice in it. And thank God that we're going to be a testimony to all of the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms.
Holy and not holy.
Yes.
Only God could have imagined this.
That's right. That's right.
If you'd like to join the conversation, we want you to do this just 844-322-2742. Got some time on the clock. Open lines, 844-322-2742. If you would care to record a question for us to play back on the air and answer for you, just go online to basicgospel.net, click the radio drop-down menu, and then select on-air question. You can record your question, or on that same page, you can write your question. Either way, we encourage you to use this means of submitting your question to Basic Gospel, because we know many of you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live. So again, just visit basicgospel.net, click the radio drop-down menu, and click on-air question. We'll be glad to address that question, and you can hear it played back on the broadcast. And right now, a question from Chris, who writes to us from Detroit. He says, I have a question concerning John the Baptist. When they talk about him being Elijah, are they meaning literally or figuratively? Please explain your take on this passage from Mark 9:13. Also, when asked if John was Elijah, he said that he was not, according to John 1:25. Please explain, and thanks in advance. That's from Chris in Detroit.
Well, he wasn't Elijah, but he came in the power of Elijah, just as the Old Testament prophesied.
That was the prophecy, in the power of Elijah, not actually Elijah.
And that's out of Malachi, the book of Malachi, is it not? And so that was the last book of the Old Testament, and that was the final prophecy of the Old Testament, that someone would come in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back toward the kids and those sort of things. And some 400 years later, that prophecy was fulfilled in John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was there preaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He wasn't saying that your repentance, your being dunked in water, is going to wash away your sins. It's an act to prepare them for what was ahead. Yes. It was a changing of the mind, a turning away from the Old Testament sacrifices to what was to come. Now, they didn't know exactly what that was going to be, other than the fact that John the Baptist was saying forgiveness of sins is happening. And so people were being baptized. People were repenting for that event in preparation. So he was doing that in the power of Elijah. So when asked, "Are you Elijah?" he rightfully said, "No, I'm not." Because he wasn't Elijah. He was John the Baptist, but he was functioning in the power of Elijah.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction.
It is. And it's Jesus who said, "Elijah has come." So that prophecy was fulfilled in John the Baptist, according to Jesus.
Right.
But of course, John the Baptist wasn't physically Elijah. Elijah came down to talk with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So that wasn't John the Baptist, and Jesus is making that clear.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Here's a question that many times we have not wanted to deal with very much, but I think this has an interesting slant on the question. It says about speaking in tongues. You once gave the example of going to Africa on behalf of the president. Of course, the issue is speaking in a foreign tongue. Do you have to pray for what God already wants? Praying according to his will, obviously.
Well, we can pray according to God's will, and how are we going to find and discover God's will? Well, we're going to do that as we read the Word of God, and we trust the Holy Spirit to teach us the meaning of the Word of God. So time and time again, it says that God is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we know for us to come to grips with what the will of God is for our lives, that's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
We see in Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that we can approve that God's will is good and acceptable to us. So there is a way to know God's will, and that's by reading the Word of God and trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us the meaning of the Word of God. And then our prayer should reflect what we're learning out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
There are some things in life that we just don't know as far as what's going to happen. So, you know, every day we don't know who God is going to bring our way, so we don't know how to specifically pray for that other than, Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my mind, give me eyes to see the needs, give me some discernment within my spirit to know how to proceed. And I think we pray that, and when we do, we're just saying, Lord, I want to be available. Well, is that the will of God for us? Absolutely.
Yes.
To be available to Jesus Christ to use us as he sees fit? Absolutely. That is the will of God. So I think as we pray along those lines, I think as we go through our day, we're going to be able to see numerous ministry opportunities that come our way.
And yeah.
So that's I think that's important. We're going to talk a lot about that next month.
Yes.
In the month of September, we're going to look at prayer, and we're very excited about that. We have a fabulous resource that we're going to be introducing that month. So stay tuned, and we're going to walk you through what genuine grace-centered prayer is all about, and we're excited about
that. It's going to be fun.
That'll be very, very cool. We have a wonderful resource right now. You know, as I said earlier, the heart of Basic Gospel is to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ and to help you walk in His grace every day. And that's why we have created the brand new Hear, Believe, Live daily devotional. It's designed to help you experience the fullness of life that's yours through Jesus Christ and can be delivered right straight to your email box. Inbox every day. Simply go and request yours right now if you can at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. You know, we're glad to be a part of helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. You'll find it, of course, at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Richard, the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.